Good morning. As you know, we've been studying in the book of Revelation and we're almost done. Anyway, we're in Revelation chapter 20. And this is not going to be a long lesson because it's 14 verses. Amen? So let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Okay? And then what I'm going to ask, as usual, if somebody will read verses 1 to 3. Any volunteers?
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season.
Wow, that's a lot, huh? Oh my. Well, I just want to remind you that in the prior lesson, right, we learned that God Almighty had prevailed in the battle of Armageddon, right? God had prevailed in the battle, and the battle he had conquered the nations. So now we're coming into this. Remember the Antichrist and the false prophet, they're gone. They were thrown into the lake of fire, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we have, here's an angel. An angel is coming down from heaven, holding the key to the bottomless pit with a great chain in his hand. Amen? That struck me, the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. Amen?
Oh, my goodness.
Bottomless. Can you imagine of anything bottomless? There's no ending.
Oh.
There's no ending. That really struck me, you know? And he takes hold of Satan, right? But this is an angel. Mm-hmm. This is an angel taking hold of Satan and chaining him. This makes you realize the power of God. Satan has no power when God ordains something. So that God ordained this angel. It doesn't say who it is, but it says an angel. It doesn't say Michael, who's the warrior angel and the prince of Israel. He's the prince over Israel, Michael. It doesn't say Michael. An angel, God sends an angel with a chain. This is all in the spirit, the real world. It's all in the spirit. He takes a chain, and he chains this Satan, and he throws him into this bottomless pit. I can't fathom anything bottomless. So, to me, it's like an eternity, almost like an eternity, right?
Absolutely.
He just keeps falling. Amen. And it says that he's bound for 1,000 years. Amen. So for 1,000 years, he is bound. He cannot do anything. And it speaks that he's a deceiver. Every lie comes from Satan. Jesus called him the father of lies. He's a liar. Amen. So we don't want to relate to that. If you can't tell somebody something, don't lie about it. Just don't tell them. I follow that pattern. If I don't want you to know something, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to lie about it, though. And many people lie trying to excuse themselves. Don't excuse yourself. Just say, I don't want to share that with you. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it, you know? And so he's bound for 1,000 years. What is the 1,000 years?
The millennium.
Yeah, the millennial kingdom.
The millennium.
Yeah, that's right, the millennium kingdom. And what else does it say? But then he is released.
Right.
God has not done away with Satan yet. He did away with the false prophet. He did away with the Antichrist because they're in the lake of fire. And let me tell you, the lake of fire is an eternity. Okay. So let's get somebody to read from 4 to verse 6.
And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Wow. That is a whole lot. So, yeah, amen, amen.
Yeah.
So we see thrones, right? We see thrones, amen? And so the question should be, who are on these thrones, right? Who are they that are on the thrones, amen? And so, well, who's on? The main throne is Jesus.
He is
on the throne. And
the martyrs,
the apostles,
the martyrs,
the tribulation saints, because it says there, I'll read it from, then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads. So some tribulation saints are going to be on thrones.
Yep.
Can you imagine? Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah. And definitely King David is going to be on one of them. Let's go to some scriptures. Let's go to Matthew 19:28. Let's look at that. And we're going to look at a few scriptures regarding who will be on these thrones. Remember, the millennium encompasses the world, right? It encompasses the saved, because this only the saved go into the millennium. Okay, so go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 19:28. If you have it, read it.
Matthew 19:28.
So Jesus said to them, surely I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, they are the apostles, because in that group is those that have followed them, are the apostles.
Yes.
Let's look at Timothy. Okay, somebody read Timothy 2. Go to Timothy chapter 2. And it's going to be... Timothy is over there with all the T's.
Yeah.
Chapter 2, verses 11 to 13.
Is that 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy?
That's 2. Oh, shoot fire. I didn't write down which Timothy.
It's 2.
Let's look. 2? Okay, yeah. Let me write it because I missed that. Timothy chapter 2.
It can't be the first.
Yeah.
Okay, what is, let's look up 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy.
Chapter 2. See if I got it right here. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Okay, so somebody else read that.
Hold on. Chapter 2, verses.
You want to read it? Okay, go ahead, Dorcas. Chapter 2, verses 11.
Okay. Here we go. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So who's being spoken to in Timothy? The saints, right?
Us, yeah. The saints. Yeah.
So we're gonna reign with him. Let's go to Daniel 7:27. Daniel chapter 7.
2 to 27?
No. Daniel 7, chapter 7, verse 27.
Oh, verse. Okay. 7, yeah. 2, 27. Okay.
Seven, chapter 7. Daniel.
Yes.
Okay, somebody else read it. Read it. Daniel 7.
27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
Amen. Again, so it will be given to the saints of the Most High. Let's go to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Lizette, you're gonna get to go there for us?
Let me type it in first. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them.
They shall serve him. This is, David is going to be on one of those thrones, King David. And let's go to Ezekiel, and I'll have anyone read it. Ezekiel 34, verses 23 to 24. Oh, Brother Hector's there. Hello, Hector.
Ezekiel what? Okay.
34?
Yes,
34. Ezekiel 34, verses 23 to 24. Hello?
Yes.
Do you have it? I haven't heard from him. Okay, Vinith.
Okay.
Read it. Ezekiel 34, verses 23 to 24.
34. I don't feel up to it.
Okay.
That's
okay, brother.
I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Amen. Again, David will be. So you see that the saints, right? This is going to be all the saints, not just the New Testament saints. They have King David. Amen. We may have Abraham on one of those thrones. We may have Elijah the prophet on one of those thrones. Amen. Because it is the world that's going to be ruled. Amen. During this millennium with Jesus the head. Amen. Amen. It's the millennium. All the citizens will acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Why? Because Satan is bound. The deceiver is not roaming the land during the millennium, right? The devil, he's not roaming the land. So we're not going to be deceived during the millennium, okay? So therefore, there'll be no more wars. Now, God does not take away our ability to decide things, right? I mean, we're not going to be robots. Exactly. We're not going to be robots during the millennium. So there will be conflicts. There will be conflicts among people. But remember, we have thrones, right? And they will judge justly because the deceiver, we might not agree on something, but they will judge justly. Mm-hmm. And the final judge is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They're going to be, conflicts will be decided justly, righteously, because it's during the millennium and the Lord reigns and the devil will not be present. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, look what it says here in, we're in Revelation 20, and hello, Stacy, we're in Revelation 20, and we just read verses 4 through 6. Amen? Amen. But look what it says. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. What does that mean? Somebody tell me, what does that mean? The rest of the dead did not live
during the millennium. Mm-hmm.
And so who are the rest of the dead?
Anybody from the Old Testament?
No, because we have
Cain. Anybody who didn't die in Christ?
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Unbelievers. Mm-hmm. The rest of the dead are those that are not saved. Blessed right. are those who have who partake of this first resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death, and we will get to that, the second death has no power. Hallelujah. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. That's Old Testament saints, like we said before. Because they will be in the millennium. They will have been not resurrected, but they spiritually, just like we who have died and have gone to heaven and came with Christ. If you remember the last chapter, mm-hmm. we came with Christ during the war of Armageddon, right? Mm-hmm. We came with Christ, right? It said the saints, mm-hmm. if you remember that, right? So we're all, that means the Old Testament saints also came with Christ in the war of Armageddon. Amen. They will be in the millennium. Hallelujah.
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 Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. And we'll reign with the Old Testament saints. We'll reign with them for 1,000 years. So here's what I think. Let me ask you, what do you think about Old Testament saints reigning?
Yes.
I think if they followed the laws, because that's what they had, was the laws. If they followed the laws, then yes. But if they didn't follow the laws, then no. So if they worship idols,
Old they're Testament only going to, only those that followed the laws are going to be there.
Yeah.
But here's where I'm going. There's going to be billions of people. Not everybody's going to be reigning, right? Everybody can't be on a throne, because then who are you going to rule over or reign over, right? So I'm thinking, could this be some of the rewards that are going to be given? Just a thought.
Huh.
Right? At the Bema Seat of Christ, when he gives out rewards to his saints based on their Christian life. They're born again. Remember that we're not being judged at the Bema Seat of Christ. It's called, right? We're not being judged. We're given gifts or rewards based on our Christian life, right?
Yeah. After the millennial.
No. We studied that. We studied that already. All right. So let's keep going.
This is the rewards. If you want to either sweep in the kingdom or walk with God.
We spoke about the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? We spoke about that already, right? And we spoke about the rewards given. We'll get back into that. But that's my point, is that not all the saints are going to be reigning, because then who would you rule over, right? Mm-hmm. Because we just read that some of the tribulation saints, David, Old Testament, Old Testament followers of God at that time, right? Mm-hmm. Abraham didn't know Jesus, but God called him a friend, because when God told him to leave his country, he obeyed. And when God told him to sacrifice his son, he obeyed. So we're going to have Old Testament saints on those thrones also.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. So, like we said, the rest of the dead are those that were not saved. And where are they going to go? The dead. They'll be in the great white throne judgment, which we will go into. If something is not clear, let me know. If I'm not being clear, let me know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can't lose our salvation, guys. You know, the word says with fear and trembling, fight for your salvation. Don't let anyone, you know, take you out of with logic and stuff, or even deeds. You make a mistake, you get before the Lord. He tells us in 1 John, I think it's 1:9, that he is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one that blows it?
No.
All right. So let's have somebody read from verses 7 to 10. Revelation 20, verses 7 to 10.
Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of saints and the beloved city. And the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Oh my. So the millennium is over, the 1,000 years. And Satan is released from the bottomless pit. Yes, Vinny. You okay?
No, no, good, keep going. Come
okay, on. So Satan is released, right? Amen. And what's going to happen? He's going to begin to deceive the nations again. He's going to be whispering in the ears of those that are now during the millennium. They were saved and all that. But some people were born that did not accept Jesus Christ. You know that, mm-hmm. right? Because there would be, he was there. But they never made that confession that I accept Jesus Christ, right? So they will be deceived by Satan. They're the ones that are going to be deceived. Amen? And then it says Gog and Magog. Did that bother any of you? Gog mm-hmm. and Magog. Because...
Didn't we read about that in the Old Testament?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes. But this is not that war. Mm-hmm. This is a phrase that's used symbolically, amen, to describe the enemies of God. So this is not the war of Gog and Magog, amen. That war we did read about in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and that war takes place either before the tribulation or sometime during the tribulation, right? We read about that where God says, then all the nations will know that I am God. It doesn't mean that they'll convert to him. It means that he's going to save Israel when all these nations come against Israel. We read about that. And God is going to save them. That's the war of Gog and Magog. And it's either going to happen before the tribulation, because that will give, most likely will give rise to the Antichrist. Okay. I'm going to leave it there because I don't want to bring confusion in. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not referred to here. Okay. So Satan will deceive the nations again. Amen. Now, this battle that's taking place, is going to take place, will be the final battle. The final battle. The final battle. Amen? So, Satan gathers all the nations to war against whom?
The saints.
Against the nation of Israel.
Oh.
Remember that from the very beginning of time, Satan knows, he knew that God was going to send the Christ. Mm-hmm. He knew that the Christ was going to come out of the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. And all through our eternity, you know, our time on earth and the prior times, Satan has been trying to stop that. So Satan has a hatred for the nation of Israel. You remember when God said, when Eve and Adam sinned, and God said that a serpent will bruise your heel, and you mm-hmm. will, and I don't remember, and you will, you know,
crush his head.
That symbolically was talking about Satan coming against the nation of Israel and God destroying him in the final times. Because eventually the Messiah, the deliverer of the people was going to come forth, because God is all knowing, right? And he already had that in plan. It says that before the foundation of the earth, he had already planned what was going to happen, because he's all knowing. He's omniscient. He knew Adam and Eve were going to fail him. So Satan, it says here, look, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. What's the beloved city? Always in scripture. Jerusalem. So they're surrounding Jerusalem and the whole nation of Israel. Because look what it says. It says, whose number is as the sand of the sea.
That's what he told Abraham.
The generations of Abraham
is like the sands of the sea.
The nations that are coming against Israel are numerous, that you can't count them. These are the people that are going to surround the city. Look, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, the beloved city. Oh, where did I read that before?
9.
What is it, Pastor?
Verse 9.
Okay, verse 9. They went up. And I want to see where it says as the sands of the sea. We'll go out to see Gog and Magog together. Together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea.
Right.
So these nations, I mean, you go to a beach. Mm-hmm. Can you count the sands? So can you imagine the world coming against Israel and surrounding Jerusalem? This is the final battle. This is the final battle where God's just going to wipe them out. Right? Right? It says that God sent fire from heaven and devoured all of them. Amen? This is the final battle. This is the end of time as we know it. Amen? This is all happening on the earth. This is not the new Jerusalem and the new coming down from heaven. This is not it. We are still on the earth. Amen? He sends fire from heaven. He devours all of them. And what happens to Satan? He is cast out into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. And it says, and they will be tormented night and day forever and ever. That's why, you know, I believe that we have to take the Bible literally when it's very clear. Mm-hmm. When it's symbolic, we have to research. I think this is clear.
Yeah.
This means hell is going to be forever. That's why we have to, like I said, fight for our salvation. Fight for our salvation, because the way this world is so perverted today that people are going to want to argue with you about Christ. And there's no point arguing. You just walk away from them, because they're, you know, if God doesn't save them, their minds are so seared. The word says that some people, you know, when you sear meat in a pan and you sear it, when you sear the meat, the juices can't come out or in, right?
Right.
You sear it. So those that have a seared mind cannot receive.
Amen.
You let them go. Don't argue. Work for your salvation. When the Holy Spirit opens the door and you know it's the Holy Spirit, then you can talk to them. Amen. About Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to verse 11. Let's read verse 11 and 12.
Then I saw who's reading? Go ahead.
You are pastor.
Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened.
Okay, now let's leave it there. And books were open up to there.
Okay.
And I'll get to the other part in a minute, okay? Thank you, Pastor. Okay, so this astonishes me. So there's a great white throne. This is what is known as the great white throne judgment. People are going to be judged, okay? And him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. The earth and heaven fled away. So now this judgment is not taking place on the earth. Because the earth and heaven fled away. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it must be convening somewhere in outer space. Somewhere where God is. This is taking place. Amen. Because the earth passes away, the sky passes away. Amen. Hallelujah. And it says,
there was no place for them.
Exactly. So, what would that mean? There's no place for them. Do they keep fleeing? Or does God just ends it? Remember that God's word can do anything. Right? So either God, they fled away, God ends them, and they're gone. Or they keep going. I don't know. Amen?
Well, can't they just be in his presence?
No, because do you get the idea of they fled away from God?
They fled away from God.
The presence of God. You know, the word says that we can't stand in human form before God and see his face.
So they're in human form. They're not there to be
judged. The earth, the heavens. The physical earth and the physical heavens, they're gone.
And what about the people?
Well, the people now are probably spiritual. That's good. They're probably in their new body, the glorified body.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably in their glorified body, because if the earth and the heavens fled away,
yeah,
because later he's going to have the new Jerusalem come down to the earth. So it's good. It says it's going to be a new earth and it's going to be new heavens. Right?
Yes.
So, I think that we're all going to be in a glorified body wherever God is. That's what I think. Wherever God is, we're going to be.
That's what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the last sentence in verse 11, where it says, and there was found no place for them, that's referring to no place for heaven and earth.
And the earth.
Yes.
I see what you go. Yes, that's referring to the actual earth and the heavens.
Heavens. Yeah.
So that creation, remember, God created the heavens and the earth. It's not, God is above that. Anything that any creator is above whatever it creates, right? Yep. If you make a little statue of clay, you're not in the clay. Mm-hmm. You're not in that statue. You're way in above. That's what it means when we say God is transcendent. God is transcendent. And remember this. Who can understand the mind of God? If you can understand God, like I've said in the past, then you're equal to God, and we really don't need him.
Right.
You know, it's like, if we can understand God, it's like you worshiping me and me worshiping you. You worship what is above, what is transcendent, what is beyond what you are. Amen? So then it says, and I saw the dead, small, great, standing before God. So now, what dead are they? Who are they? Is it us? No. Mm-hmm. No. It's those that did not accept Jesus Christ throughout eternity.
Oh, the Old Testament saints.
The people that, all the pagans, mm-hmm. all the people that worshiped idols, all the people that did not see God, even though they did not know Christ, they knew there was a supreme being because they worshiped gods. Look at Abraham. Abraham came from a culture that worshiped idols.
Mm-hmm.
And he sought the God, the real God. And, you know, God says, you'll find me in Jeremiah. You'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. So those that sought the Lord in the Old Testament are not here because they're saved. Okay? These are the unbelievers throughout eternity, throughout the earth's eternity. The unbelievers are at this throne, great white throne, judgment. We are not going to be judged. Remember, when were we judged? Mm-hmm. Somebody tell me, when were we judged?
Judged or forgiven before Christ, before Jesus. No. Jesus when, gave us.
One, two. Okay.
We were judged in the first judgment, right? When Christ came and we were caught up, right?
No. We were judged when we accepted Christ, Jesus, and we had accepted him. So right there, we were, like Dorcas said, we were forgiven, but he took our judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And I see your point. When he went to the cross, he paid our penalty for sin.
Yeah.
So there was our judgment, and because he died on the cross, we were forgiven, and that's it. We were found we're justified by faith in Christ Jesus. So we're not here. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, we're going to be judged in the sense of gifts, rewards, but not in the sense of salvation.
Okay.
And that's what the Bema Seat of Christ is. Judgment of the saints in order to give out gifts. You guys know that I always joke around and I say, you can sweep the church, but I want to be next to Christ. I want to walk with the Savior. So what are these gifts going to be? Probably positions, authorities, you know? That's our reward. But this is the great white throne judgment where sinners will be judged. And then it says, and books were open, right? Pastor Bernice read that. And books were open. So it doesn't say a book was open. It says books. So there were a number of books open. Okay. Now, the rest of that, Pastor Bernice, you can read the rest of that verse that you were reading, and I did not let you finish.
And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books.
Okay, so books are written, right? Books are written, and there's another book which is called the book of life. Okay, we'll get there. Now, somebody read verse 13.
The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Mm-hmm. And they were judged, each one according to his works.
Okay.
So even though you're a sinner, you're still going to be judged anyway? Even though we know you're a sinner?
They're going to be judged because, you know, they have not been in the first resurrection. They're still in the... I'll get to it. You're getting ahead of me. Just let me, because I'll get there. Yes, they are going to be judged. That's what the right. Well, because I think God is a just God, and mm-hmm. He's going to let them know exactly why they're being judged as such. Okay, so the book of life, it says, right? And it says, in which all things are written. So there's a book of life in heaven, and every action of yours and every action of mine is written in that book. Amen. And the books were open, which is the book of life. Okay, so let me rephrase that. There is a book that is open in which all our actions are written in it. Amen? All our actions. Everything we've done. Then there is the book of life. Those are two different books. Amen. So every action is written in a book. But then there's a book of life, and we'll get to that. And the dead are judged from that book wherein everything is written. God is going to, here's what we have against you. And they're going to be judged by that, okay? We were judged by the work of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. They haven't been judged yet. They will be judged on their actions, on the things that they have done. And the record, this book in which everything is written, is going to show all their sins and the fact that they refuse to repent. When you go before a judge, you got to hear two sides of the story, right? When you go before, look how just God is. Because God could just say, oh, you're going to hell. But there's a trial taking place. And God is showing them, these are the things you've done, and this is why you're being judged. Amen? And he says, and you sin, and you fail to repent. Amen? What amazes me is the sea gave up their dead. Death and Hades gave up. Did we read that?
Yes, the sea.
Death and Hades. Amen. So what does that mean? Death and Hades. Well, death we know, the spirit of death, right? We know death. But Hades, amen. Hades is in the Old Testament, Hades was hell, but there wasn't a fire. It wasn't hell fire, because that's the lake of fire. Hell was a place that had two chambers. One, the departed just were in one part of hell. The other, the sinners, were in another part of hell. Do you remember when Christ was crucified? The Bible says he went down to hell and released the captives.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. He didn't release the sinners. He received those that during the Old Testament, those that had accepted God, Abraham, all of those, and he took them to heaven. They went to heaven. That's why they're in heaven. They're no longer in Hades. At that time, they were no longer in Hades. Jesus is the one who says he took the keys of hell and he led the captives free. Amen.
Amen.
And it says, if you read the scriptures, it says that when Jesus did that, they were dead walking on the earth. People were seeing them before they were caught up to heaven. Read the scriptures. You'll see that. Amen? So it says, okay. 13 says, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. So what does that mean? No more death. Hades, no more hell. They're done away with. Amen? This is the second death. They go into the lake of fire, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, so whose names are in the, this is what I want to get to. Whose names are written in the book of life?
The saints.
Exactly. The saints are written in the book of life. So all these people, now all of us, the works are written in this book, this other book, where all your actions are written. But we've been justified by faith. The sinner stuff is also in there. So they're judged from that book on their works, and their name does not appear in the book of life. Right? It says it. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, that's the term. You know, the Hades in Greek, when you study the New Testament, there's a, the Greek uses a different word for the same thing, Hades. I believe they use the word Sheol, S-H-E-O-L in the Greek. Mm-hmm. And in the Hebrew is Hades. It's the same place. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so this question arises, right? So where do the sinners go in our lifetime that have not accepted the Lord? So they go to this waiting place. It's got to be Sheol. They have to go because, you know, absent from the body, present with the Lord, we go up. And you know that it says in the rapture, the dead, the saved dead are going to rise first, but the unsaved dead are going to stay in the grave and in Sheol, in this place. Do you understand? Do you guys understand what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, so the rapture hasn't come. So we have, not we, there are people that have died in their sins. Look at these criminals and rapists and all that, that may not have accepted Lord at the last moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're still in the grave. That's what they mean by the grave. They're not in the physical grave that one is interred. They're not in that physical grave, right? It's just the bones and the body disintegrating. They are in Sheol because they're not saved. They're not going straight to heaven. Only the saved. So you have family members that were saved. Where are they? They're with the Lord. Hallelujah. They're in heaven with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So death and Hades are thrown in the lake of fire because there will be no more death. There will be no more hell. Amen. And that's it. That's it.
There was kind of like two raptures. One when Jesus rose from the dead and he took everybody out that was righteous with him.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's going to do it again when he comes down. Right. He's going to take everybody that's here.
That's right. So you can probably see a number of raptures where people were taken up and all that, but the rapture that we're waiting for, amen, hallelujah, is, you know, for the saints, when we will all be taken up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.